Hello, and welcome to A Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and today's show is a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association of Juno and KTOO. Today, we are discussing fraternities and sororities, and this is a continuation from our show last week, speaking about HBCUs. If you did not hear that show, you can go to ktoo.org and you can listen to the show in the archives. It'll definitely be a good foundation for you to hear that first before you listen to this one. But either way, we're so glad that you're here with us. And let me just give an opportunity for our guests to introduce themselves. Brian Compton, welcome.
Hi, my name is Brian Compton. Thank you for having me. I'm here on behalf of Phi Beta Sigma Incorporated. So it's a pleasure to be here on the show, and hopefully we can give you guys some insight on the questions you have for. Thanks for having us.
Hello there. This is Keisha Allen, and I'm joining you as a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, as well as an illustrious alumnus of Grambling State University.
Keisha, you were just sharing before we started recording that you actually lived in Alaska at one point. Can you say where you are now and then a little bit about the time that you spent here in Alaska?
Absolutely. Well, currently, I reside in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and that's near the Fort Bragg military installation for those who are military astute. But when I lived in Alaska, my husband was stationed in Fairbanks at Fort Wainwright. And when I tell you, when we lived there, to me, I saw Alaska as the closest place to being in heaven. It was extremely beautiful. The caribou, the summer solace, the midnight softball games, you name it. I enjoyed it. Going gold mining. I did all the touristy stuff that was available in Alaska. So I'm that chick. I am certainly a visitor and a person who will be the ultimate walk around looky-loo, looking at everything. So I literally loved it there.
Well, I'm glad that you're here with us, Keisha. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And Brian, you're joining us from Los Angeles, California. How has your time been with us in our beautiful capital city so far?
Well, you know, this is my second time around, and Juno has not failed me. As you know, one of the big highlights of my trip and visit to Juno was seeing a bald eagle. Juno didn't give me that pleasure on my first visit, although it did give me the pleasure to see. I have to piggyback on my Auntie Keisha, the landscaping, the snow, just the surroundings of the great outdoors, just how natural it is out here. Coming from Los Angeles, there's a lot here in Alaska that I probably would never have seen had I come here and visit. Juno, Alaska has not let me down once again. I mean, for someone that hasn't even really seen out of Alaska, to just get my feet wet coming to Juno twice, it hasn't let me down. I mean, I'm in awe sometimes when I just look at the beauty and all the how natural it is, the trees, the snow caps, the mountains. One thing we take for granted, even in Los Angeles, is the air quality. Oh my gosh, the air quality in Alaska is off the charts. Don't even get me started on the great taste in water. Like, these are things you people take for granted. Like, when you come from the big city, like, you know, these areas where me and Auntie are from, it's not until you step out into these other states that you're so fortunate to visit, such as Alaska, where you see the little things. Now, you know, I'm not down in California saying the water's bad, but what I am saying, I can tell the difference between my water and this water here. And let me tell you something. I could bottle this water up and take it home with me. I would. So, yeah, shout out to California. But let me tell you, Alaska is definitely set apart a very unique state. For one that's not a big fan of cold weather, when I get here, I forget about it. Because in order for me to enjoy the beauties that come with this great state, you're just going to have to suck up that coldness. But I guess because I'm in such an awe, I just warm up internally. Like when I look around, I'm not even thinking about the cold. I know I'm in the cold because the elements are around me. So it's no lying and nothing getting away from the fact that it's, you know, 25 degrees. But when you look around, somebody like me getting to see this new surrounding and stuff, I just take it at all. I don't take it for granted. I just think it's a testament of God's beauty and just the creative factors that he had going when we were put here on this earth. So, you know, I love it. Yeah, I love it. Thanks for having me, too.
Of course. Thank you for being here, Brian. So the show that we're doing today on fraternities and sororities, I'm really excited about this. I went to Vanguard University of Southern California in Costa Mesa, and we didn't have fraternities or sororities. I didn't really know anything about them. I learned a little bit just by watching TV. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation and to your hearing you guys' experiences. So can we just start with the basics? What is a sorority and what is a fraternity?
Well, I guess I'll go with what is a sorority, since I'm female. Females are literally the members of sororities. It's a gender-based, meaning that it typically is geared toward females. Now, in particular, I must say that nobody other than those that are designated to speak on behalf of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. So I am not in liberty to speak as a member only. I can speak about my experience. But for the organization itself, because it is a business, not necessarily just an organization, I have to offer that disclaimer. I'm not speaking on behalf of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, but from Keisha's experience. So a sorority itself, it's a sisterhood. It's a group of women with like-mind goals. We help others with scholarship, sisterhood, and service. That's truly our platform that we go by. And it's a testament to having to have a college degree to be a member, as well as it's a lifetime commitment. So from the moment you become a member, you're a member until the day you die. So that's pretty much sums it up for us. What's your take on what the men looking like?
I'm gonna take it from here. Here is what the Google definition of a fraternity is: a group of people sharing a common profession and interest. When you join a fraternity and sorority, and like my auntie said, I am a member of Phi Beta Sigma. These are the views expressed solely by Brian Compton as a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. I am not here as appointed from headquarters of Phi Beta Sigma Incorporated. So these are my thoughts. These are my experiences personally that I'm speaking on, and for that aspect only. Now that we have the disclaimer out the way, that's the good in general definition of what a fraternity is. I think once you join specifically our Afro-American fraternities, the word brotherhood and sisterhood is taken and magnified to a whole nother level. This is part of why our organizations coexist is, one, we do have fraternal and sorority bonds to our members in our organizations. Like my auntie said, we're here as social servants, public servants to our communities, to our colleges, the places where we're planted at, because once you join the organization, you are part of it for life. So it doesn't matter where you go, where you're relocated or planted in this life, your duty as a member of these organizations is to carry the light as such. So wherever you at, you let your light shine. That doesn't change. We're put here to help with the communities, to help with mentorships, to help educate not just our fellow members, but those who we come in contact with. So It's more to it than just getting three letters put on your chest. That's one part of it. But as they said, and I'm sure Auntie can share this view, once you get them letters, that's when the work starts. And it's ongoing depending on how active you are with your particular chapter at that particular point in your life. It's a great privilege to be a part of these organizations, and it's not for everybody. Those who it is for and they are appointed to it, we make the best of the experience that we have.
Service came up with both of you. Can you elaborate on what type of service you provide?
Now, I heard you mention, like, when you were coming along, you didn't know, but in Alaska, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority actually has a chapter there that was founded in 1997 at the University of Alaska Anchorage.
Okay.
So that's a little history that in all of our things are public information. So don't ever think that, oh my God, it's so much secret. You can just Google Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated.org or DeltaSigmaTheta.org and look it up. It's over 200 plus thousand, so 300 plus thousand by now, members of this organization, that it's international. So with service, we do things in the community, like we host things for scholarships. We have there a variety of program initiatives that we host and we look forward to. We feed families, we hold Christmas organization things or anything. We are primarily focused on the Black community. So that's really one of the things that, in my experience, deviled in. So everything that I do, I've done it with a number of other women who are also members of Delta, from blood drives to cancer drives. So it's so many things that, depending upon what we call our 5-point programmatic thrust, we will go from there. So currently, I'm a member of the Fayetteville Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta. So we have chapters, more than one, in certain communities in the states. So they're broken down in regions. And again, I'm not speaking on behalf of the Fayetteville Alumni Chapter, because we have a president that elects to do that, and we have regional directors. So all of this information is just me, once again, as a member and my personal experience. So I've done some of everything as far as service. So when we say that, we're not being coy about anything, because like I said, Google it. Google the words, Google all of that, and you can pull it up. And people will be surprised, because for some reason, people have a mindset that we're doing something that's so secretive, yeah. And that's not the case. Yeah. So that's part of our community service, to even be on this live with you, to let you know that this is a part of service, so I can do that individually.
Yes, and I'm so glad that you said that it's not a secret society, or that, you know, things are not hidden, because that's a perception that I had.
Let me say this, it's some things that you have where, I guess, if you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, mm-hmm. That part where, if I have information, and I guess they call it, like some people call on another level and in other financial views, they call it insider trading. Yeah. So say, for instance, I'm already a member and I tell you, hey, you need to check our website out because an announcement, or check our calendar out. You go on our calendar, then you learn that there's a rush coming up on this particular date. Now, what you do with that information is up to you, because members of Delta, we don't recruit. So there's no recruiting that I know of. So I wasn't recruited. I found out the information from somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody. So I looked it up. I qualified. I met the criteria. And the rest is history.
Well, on that note, if you're just joining us, this is your host, Christina Michelle, and I am here with Keisha Allen and Brian Compton. and we are discussing fraternities and sororities today. We're going to go to a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to A Juno Afternoon. Today's show is a collaboration between KTOO and the Black Awareness Association of Juno. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and I am joined here by Keisha Allen from Delta Sigma Theta and Brian Compton, who is a member of Phi Beta Sigma. And we are talking about Black fraternities and sororities today. We ended the first segment talking about the service that the fraternities and the sororities provide in their communities. And Keisha, you were sharing about how you join and that Delta Sigma Theta doesn't recruit. So what would be the process if someone wanted to join a fraternity sorority? And either one of you guys can jump in and answer that.
With Delta, and again, I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, and from my experience, and I don't speak on behalf of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, we have a grand chapter and a president, Beverly Smith, who is our CEO of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And at any moment, anyone can go on our public website, and that's deltasigmatheta.org, and look up anything that they want to know about Delta. So my process was, how do you get to go about it? Your question, just like a job. You know, if you're interested in something, you look up the information, see if you like it, see if it coincides with your views, your morals, your mores, all of that, something that you would want to be involved in, like with any organization. From that particular point, you get to know people who are members of this particular organization. That's what I did. And then from that particular point, I was like, wow, we do have things in common. So I built up a rapport with these people. Then I contacted the local chapter and let them know that I was interested. So I just sent them an email. And so when that particular point, whenever you have something going on, please notify me if I can be a part. So like the Martin Luther King parade, I started with something like that. I started with feeding the hungry and the homeless, or those that are less fortunate and disadvantaged or have food insecurities at the time. So things of that nature that I know I personally like doing, that's what I did. So I got involved by reaching out to the local chapter, finding out more information about that chapter, and then taking it from there.
Mine's was a little more animated. First of all, again, I'm here talking on Phi Beta Sigma as a member. The views and comments that I express are not based on headquarters or anything of that nature. So this is Brian Compton as a member of the group and my travels as a member of Phi Beta Sigma. So there's the disclaimer. Again, I'll piggyback. You can go to PhiBetaSigma1914.org, I believe is our website. And like anything, you can find all the information that we have. It's public information. Nothing hidden. You know, it's none of the taboos that you hear, we cults and stuff of that. So these are professional organizations, nonprofit, that are put here to better the culture, to better your experience and help build better men and women in these organizations and build a brotherhood and sisterhood bond that hopefully can never be broken. That's where you can find the information as far as joining Phi Beta Sigma. Another route is like my auntie discussed, you may know someone in the organization. You can, you know, ask them directly or indirectly, but far as a process of being invited, it's like she said, it's like an interview. If you're interested, you're gonna find out what needs to be done, the process. And for me personally, it was sort of like that and it sort of wasn't, because I was one that was always fascinated by particularly the Black, Greek, fraternity and sorority life as a young child, because I had two parents from the South. My mom was alumni of Grambling State. So I had been exposed to the Southern HBCU experience in a sense. Just coming up, I would always hear the narrative and the chatter amongst family. I later on, like I said, I saw a movie called School Days directed by Spike Lee, and my life was never the same. Once I saw that movie, that basically put the peanut butter spread on my life in regards to joining a fraternity. I didn't know which one at the time, but let me tell you, that movie gave me a lot of insight at that time to me. And I still say, these are my express comments, but I think that's one of the best Black fraternity sorority movies made. It had a lot of insight. It had a lot of good points in regards to the race and culture and things of that nature, but that helped push it. And then I actually got to Northeast Louisiana, where at the time that particular campus was full of Greek activity and life. We had every organization. We come from the Panhellenic Council, which is made up of the 9 fraternities and sororities. At that time, it was the Elite 8. I believe this is Elite 8 at that time, right, Auntie?
Yes.
Yeah, because later on they made additions. We're currently D9, but at that time it was the Elite 8. And we had every organization from Phi Beta Sigma to my auntie's Delta Sigma Theta, you name it, AKA KSI. We were all on the yard. So I had a bird's eye view of how the fraternity activity went on for me as a man, went on. So I could see, I saw the activities. I kind of navigated over to the Sigmas and I got to know some of those members. And, you know, the next thing at that time, they had what was called a smoker. That's when you went to find out. It was more of an informational. And that's where you went to find out about any new activity, any new initiates they were having, things of that nature, the requirements to become a member. And you made an assessment if you felt that that organization represented what you wanted to be a part. After that, the rest was history. And after that, you know, for me, that's when the process began. And I never looked back. Next thing I know, you know, here I am, a Sigma man for life. And it's been one of the greatest experiences I've had as being a member of the great organization. And, you know, I look forward to many years serving best I can in the organization as well.
So, Christina, I'm sorry. I wanted to say something else, too. What a lot of people don't know is there's college level and then there's a graduate level. So when you go to college and during those 4 years, you may have an opportunity to become a member. Then after that, there's also an opportunity where you can become a member after college. But the most common thing we know we have is that you must have a 4-year degree, typically, unless there are some special circumstances or a special dispensation has been granted some kind of way. But that's a whole nother thing we can go into as well.
Okay.
And that's the same. That's the same for our org as well. There's the undergrad and then you have the grad chapter. So just like the sororities, there are two options for us as well.
Okay.
Good point, Auntie.
So, Brian, I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. You said at one point, so you showed your interest, and then you said that's when the process began. What was the process? Because I feel like we went from point A to point Z and we skipped all the alphabets in the middle. I'm particularly interested in what you actually had to do to qualify. What had to happen for you to be accepted into the fraternity?
Ooh, okay. Let's see. Let me answer this as professional as possible.
Okay.
Thank you, Auntie. You know, it's pretty much one of those things that, just like you said, you attend the informational, you get information from there, and then from there, you submit your job application, and then they go down the list and see out of all the applicants if you qualify. You qualify, Then from that particular point, they call you in for your orientation. During that orientation process, you learn a lot about the organization. And then after you pass, there are process and you test and you find out you are quite familiar with all the information needed to be able to be a member for a lifetime. You then come out and announce to everybody that, hey, I'm a member of this organization. Ding, just like that.
And that's when the work begins.
Okay. Ta-da. And then,
She executed that very adequately. So thank you, Auntie, because I was at a loss for words. That's a process.
So about it like that, you know, it truly is. It's almost like, you know, how you have your 30-day, your 90-day probationary period and all of that. So think of it just like that. That's exactly what it is. And the time span can range whatever the organization or the probationary period can last for however long that particular process has been determined.
Okay.
And that's the part I forgot too. The testing along the process of becoming a member, the testing is, that's a whole nother level. Because one thing about whether it's on a fraternity level or a sorority level, in most cases, again, speaking from mine, and I'm sure Auntie can contest to this too, they make sure that by the time that whatever your time period is of becoming a member, that at that time, you are very knowledgeable of what's going on in the organization and what you stand for and what you're going to represent. So I'm glad Auntie brought that point up in regards to on a sorority and a fraternal level.
And how long is this testing period? Does it differ from organization to organization?
Yeah, that differs from organization. It depends on where you at, undergrad level, graduate level, the chapter that you're dealing with.
But that the same thing, though, Christina, say, for instance, you're a very good student. You can learn and recall your information like that. Well, you have somebody that's with you in this process that may not catch on or can't remember. So what do? Just like a mentor or a tutor, you help them with this process. We have to know this so that we can finish this. So it's one of those things. It's a support system. It's a sisterhood or a brotherhood. You learn the information. You quiz each other like a study partner, and then you go on. Okay. So
I heard was to be part of a fraternity or sorority, you had to go through a period where they would test you, like test your loyalty, almost pushing to see how far you would go and still want to be part of the organization.
What you're talking about is hazing. Mm. And so what we would deem that is, just by the nature of your question and people, whatever they're saying, that of course somebody could do it, but it's against the law.
Okay.
And we don't condone it, and we don't profess it at all. Excellent. So like good choices and bad choices, if you see something, say our organization, and I'm sure Brian's organization does not condone that. We have so many platforms and reminders and even paperwork that we must sign and consent to, and people who want to state that you will not allow yourself to be involved, nor will you watch someone else go through that without telling, because it's against the law. It's no, 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 no. Don't do it. I wouldn't allow anybody to do it to me. I wouldn't do it to anybody. I won't watch anybody do it. So testing your loyalty, the only thing you have to do is submit your application and pray that you get accepted. And if you are accepted, you learn the information and then you get to work.
Okay. Thank you so much, Keisha. I honestly wasn't sure how to ask that question because I don't know if it's a sensitive topic, but I think that it's good for us to know because a lot of people have shied away from wanting to join a fraternity or sorority because of the perception that you have to go through hazing.
Look at how many times she said, no, 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 no.
Right.
We don't tolerate it. It's not accepted.
Thank you. Good to know. On that note, we're going to take a quick break and we will be back in just a moment to continue this conversation. Welcome back to A Juno Afternoon. Today's show is a collaboration between KTOO and the Black Awareness Association of Juno. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and I am joined here today by our guest, Brian Compton, who is a member of Phi Beta Sigma, and Keisha Allen, who is a member of Delta Sigma Theta. We've been having an excellent conversation today about Black fraternities and sororities. And if you did not hear the first two segments, you can always go to ktoo.org and you can check the archives and you can hear the entire conversation. It's definitely worth taking some time to listen to. So we are at the last segment of the show and there's still so much I want to know, but I guess I'll end with this question. Is there anything unexpected about joining your fraternity and your sorority that you wish you had known before becoming a member?
Well, for me, again, as a member of Delta Sigma Theta, I'm speaking only on my personal experience, and I don't speak for the organization itself, is when somebody dies from the organization, we have a ceremony for them, and it's so difficult to know that someone that you have possibly become close to in the organization that you have possibly worked alongside with or even come from college days all the way up through and to late adulthood, and they pass away. And then you have to do this ceremony for them that it's the right for them, or they can decline, and their family, it's a right for them as a member, but their family can decide to or to not do it. And when a family does not do it, it kind of hurts, because when you are experiencing this life with them and being members and you do things together, and you know in your heart that that person would want what we call that final right acknowledged, but then the family decides, no, we don't want to do that, because they may have misperceptions that they think we're going to do something else, but it's literally, as a member, that's just something at the, at once you pass away, it's a ceremony to say that you did it for the lifetime. So that's one of my experiences that was difficult. And I actually get a little choked up behind it, because to me, that again promotes the essence of having a will and dictating things that you want done specifically. So what you got, nephew?
You know what? That's a good point, because the fraternities we have for Sigmas, that's the Omega chapter. And that's a touchy one. And I agree, that's one thing that you probably don't get. You won't really get exposure to that really until it happens. It's addressed to you during the process. You do have knowledge of it as becoming a member, but that is definitely a toughie. That was a good one. I'm glad you brought that up, Auntie. Another one is, like, for me, I think in regards to Phi Beta Sigma, me talking personally from my experiences, this is not the express ideals of the fraternity as a whole or headquarters. But for me, as Brian Compton, I didn't realize how much work after the process that you were required to be as a member. See, what you don't get during the process is understanding that, hey, you might hold an office. These are global organizations. You can go as high in the hierarchy as your heart desires if that's what you're cut out to do. these organizations are like everything else. We got presidents, we got secretaries, we got treasurers. There's a foundation built and there's a structure that keeps the organizations and sororities going. So I didn't really realize, and I'll use a layman term, how high in the food chain you could go if that is your call. I mean, you got people that join, and let's just say they may be at the entry level. Hey, they get in, they get their letters, they do a certain level of participation. But if you're well endowed and knowledgeable and you have a desire to go higher in the organization, those opportunities are there. We both, Deltas and Sigmas, have headquarters. You know, these are buildings set aside particularly for all the fraternal and sorority activity. Mind you, these buildings are filled with executives and members of the organizations to help the ongoing process and protect the lifeline of these organizations.
Don't forget to add, you have to keep that position filled along with your job. If you have a job and not retired, you still have to do that in conjunction with everything else.
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, these positions carry a lot of responsibility. You got people running auxiliaries and things of that nature, because both of our organizations, we're big on mentorship, passing the hand down to the younger generations and making sure that, again, the torch is still lit. Phi Beta Sigma has Sigma Betas. We have a sister organization, Zeta Phi Beta, plus the fact that Delta Sigma Theta, that we're all part of what we call the Pan-Atlantic Council, and we're all fraternal brothers and sisters through that organization. So you put that on top of your own personal org directives and responsibilities, plus the fact that we still coexist as brothers and sisters amongst the D9 triangle as such. I mean, Auntie Keisha, yeah, she's a member of Delta Sigma Theta, but I still view her as my sister. Fraternally and through the sororities, we're all bonded in that sense. So it's ongoing. You sometimes don't really realize how big this piece of the pie is, like I said, until you do become a member and you see the many facets that these organizations have to offer.
And then on top of that, it doesn't necessarily mean like, okay, if I joined back in 1986, that I automatically get to be this. No, if you're not doing the work, you won't get to that next level or something that you want to be, because people have to entrust in you, and that's your membership body. So I could have been a member in 1958, but I've never done anything but paid my dues and went on with that, because there's a due paying process as well. And when I say dues, that's membership fee. So there are a variety of fees, they range, and it depends on where you're located. So again, it's a business, but it's an organization.
So I guess it's kind of like a hidden truth in the fact that it's not purposely being hid from you. It's just that until you become a member, it's like unlocking the door and you going through it. And then you realize, oh, wow, so much other aspects to this organization than just the one you may have initially joined up for, or the reasons you may initially.
And don't forget about our membership conferences, conventions, and all of that that we have throughout years, and some or a few years, then you go to the next one. Like it made a national news about Delta Sigma Theta Sorority's 54th National Convention in New Orleans, Louisiana, when the storm came through, but we still served. We took all of our things and we did a lot for the community that was left behind after we evacuated, because it was a necessary evil of Mother Nature, if you will.
Okay. Yeah, and like she said, these organizations, we're holding events worldwide. You're having awareness events, you're having fraternal and sorority events. The scale of how big these organizations are, you really don't realize it in the fullness until you become a member. But membership has its privileges. So that's just one of those things that I think that coincides with it, because you can't know everything while you're going through the initial process of becoming a member. It's like everything else. There are levels to it. There are steps to it. And depending on how hungry you are as a member of wanting to excel in the organization, well, that all comes down to that particular person. You have some people that may make it to level A in the organization, and then you got some that'll make it from A all the way to Z. It just depends on their desire, their ambition, their goals personally as a member, and what they can offer the organization and what the organization can offer them.
Well said. If any of our listeners are interested in volunteering with one of the fraternities or sororities, can they do that?
Well, if they'd like to find information on Phi Beta Sigma, they can go to PhiBetaSigma1914.org. That's our national website. All our information is there. That's a good resource to answer all their initial questions and basically set them in the right path of viewing what Phi Beta Sigma has to offer as a fraternity.
And with Delta, we have, and just like he does too, we have local chapters pretty much in every city and state. So the first step, if you're locally, you can look up that particular area, Delta Sigma Theta in Juneau, Alaska, and see if you find anything, Google it. But just like you said, all information disseminates from our national headquarters, which is deltasigmatheta.org.
Okay.
And for the record, I got to give a shout out to Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity chapter in Anchorage. So if you're in this great state of Alaska, there are some Sigmas in Anchorage. Reach out to them.
Yep. So, you know, I already gave a shout out to my sorors. Sorors, if y'all hear me out there. And they know what it is. And that's not an official call, but that's something that we do. And it is so much fun. And that's one of the things that we say, like a commonality. So if somebody hear that, they automatically will think that you literally either doing something crazy or you a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. Right.
We're going to have to come back and do part two. I just love the passion and enthusiasm that you both have for your organizations. And I appreciate you so much for being here and being such a wealth of knowledge and information for us. Is there anything that you would like to share that you have coming up?
Absolutely. Well, my partner and I, we are co-founders of a Facebook group that we have deemed the name Nelia Zone. So in Nelia Zone, it's like a shopping community where you can come there and find everything you want for the D9 organizations. And you can email us at Nelia, NALIAZONE, the number 4, BGLO@gmail.com. And that's Nelia Zone, the number 4, BGLO@gmail.com. And you can reach us on Facebook for www.facebook.com/Nelia Zone.
As for me, I'm Brian Compton. I'm one of the owners of All That Air, some Greek warehouse located in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, we basically are one of the we're the premier Black-owned Greek paraphernalia shop in the city of Los Angeles. We carry the apparel and accessories for all the D9 organizations.
Wait a minute, I gotta interject. This lovely jacket I'm wearing came from All That and Son. They also host HBCU paraphernalia from Grambling State University to the gamut. So I had to do that shout out real quick.
That's the tiger in her. We welcome that type of activity, Auntie, anytime. Thank you for that. Shout out to the Tigers. You can locate us. I always tell everybody you can locate us on Facebook under my Facebook page is All That and Some, spelled ALLTHATANDSUM. You can follow us on Instagram under that same tag, All That and Some, or you can follow us at Greek Warehouse Showroom on Instagram. And my website, I have a store on eBay. I've been operating that for probably over 20 years. That's the one-stop shop for everything D9 paraphernalia, HBCU paraphernalia, like my auntie said. We carry a majority of the historically Black colleges. If you did go to Grambling, I'm the guy you want to get with. The website is ebay.com/str/ all that and some, spelled ALLTHATANDSUM. Or you can always Google all that and some, and you can find us that way. And we'd be more than happy to facilitate you anyway. And we also carry, because sometimes we forget about our Masonic and Order of Eastern Star brothers and sisters we have out there. Those are other fraternal and sorority organizations that's out there. But they as well as are included, we carry them at our stores as well. So definitely feel free to hit the nail. If you can't find me on Google, you can find me in the nail zone because I'm there with my auntie too. So check us out.
Also.
And shout out to Angelique too.
Yeah, and this and my partner Angelica Joe. And like I said, Gram fam for life. But when I say this, this has been wonderful. So thank you for having us.
Of course. Thank you so much for being here. And to our listeners, we thank you for joining us today as well. Black Awareness Association produces a show on KTOO, A Juno's Afternoon, every Thursday. So we will be here again next week. And if you have any questions about the Juno BAA, you can send an email to junobaa@gmail.com. And you can also visit our Facebook page by searching Juno BAA or Black Awareness Association of Juno on Facebook and like our page. Until next week, take care and thank you again.